To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare to Him? The workman molds an image. The goldsmith overspreads it with gold. And the silversmith casts silver chains. Whoever is too impoverished for such a contribution chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeks for himself a skillful workman to prepare a carved image that will not totter. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. Scarcely shall they be planted. Scarcely shall they be sown. Scarcely shall their stock take root in the earth, when He will also blow on them and they will wither, and the whirlwind will take them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken Me? Or to whom shall I be equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name. By the greatness of His might and the strength of His power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, My way is hidden from the Lord, and My just claim is passed over by My God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Our God is an awesome God. Give Him praise, ladies and gentlemen. Give Him praise. Nowhere do we see His greatness more than in these words. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How many of you are glad that God sent Jesus? Yes. Hallelujah. How many of you are glad that God sends you? Sometimes that goes from amen to oh my pretty quickly on me. Huh? And yet Jesus Christ, before He left this earth, said in John's Gospel chapter 20, as the Father has sent Me, so send I you. Mission. If you are living a life without a mission, it is not worthy to be called life. If your mission is small, some of you, your mission is to make it to the cafeteria before the Methodists. If your mission is small, to lower your golf score, nothing wrong with that, you understand. But it may mean for some a small life. If your mission is to make it through the day, if your mission is fame and fortune, if your mission is anything less than the mission that God has given to His people, then you're missing out on an abundant life. Missing out. In fact, I have said it like this: no mission, no life. Small mission, small life. Grand mission, glorious life. And let me tell you what I've decided. The one who owns my life determines my mission. And I will tell you something else. I believe that mission is possible. If you like a title, my title today is Mission Possible. We go to Acts chapter 1. These are the last words that we have recorded that Jesus spoke before he left this earth to return to his heavenly home, where he now waits to return one more time for us. Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, the good physician Luke records these words. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Verse 6. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Verse 8. But you shall receive what? Say it again. You shall receive when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Reggie McNeil, in his insightful book called The Present Future, said the North American church is suffering from severe mission amnesia. It has forgotten why it exists. The church was created to be the people of God, to join him in his redemptive mission in the world. The church was never intended to exist for itself. It was and is the chosen instrument of God to expand his kingdom. End quote. Today's message in two words. Mission possible. And I will tell you now that the enemy, that's Satan, that's the devil, we believe that he's real. We believe that he has a plan to steal, to kill, and to destroy. We believe that his desire would be that every person would spend eternity with him in a place the Bible calls hell. We believe that he whispers in the ears of the followers of Jesus Christ, and he lies. And too many times we believe his lies. And one of his lies is simply this. What worked then won't work now. If you try to be on mission for Christ today, it won't work. If you try to lift up the name of Jesus in today's world, it won't work. If you seek to tell people that there is power in the gospel of Jesus Christ, it won't work. Revivals won't work. He'll tell you nothing will work. And I stand before you on the authority of God's word to say, mission possible. Mission possible. And I have an agenda today. And it is for every follower of Christ to make this their objective. Today, I will declare today to be a one-day mission trip. He said, now wait a minute. I'm not going with a group to Central America. I'm not going with a group to Cuba. I'm not going to Botswana. I'm not going to Ecuador. I'm not going to Nicaragua. I'm not going to El Salvador. I'm not going to other lands. But I say to you, wherever you are a missionary. And I'll tell you something about God. He's a missionary God, and that's why we are here. He's a missionary God. He came looking for us. And we are on mission. Mission possible. Now, if that's going to be reality in your life, I will suggest to you that there are some decisions you'll have to make. All of our focus today is on verse 8. So if your Bible's still open, you'll look back at verse 8 with me. Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Bible students will say, and rightly so, this was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, some 50 days after that time of death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And that's historically accurate. But I will tell you, and without hesitation, you better not leave home on mission without the Holy Spirit. Because we also desperately need His presence in our lives. How can my mission be possible? If you're a note taker, in the back of this service folder, on the right-hand side, you will find a sheet that says Sermon Notes. And if you want to jot down these, that will be fine. If you don't, it's fine. But let me tell you my first answer to the question. How can I stand before you and say, mission possible? It's possible for me today to be on a one-day mission trip. It's possible on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday to be on a one-day mission trip. How is that possible? All right. Answer number one. I will fully trust in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Listen, church. If programs could win the world, we would have won the world in 1955. We're good with programs. If personalities could have won the world, great pulpit orators, it would have happened a long time ago. Listen to me and listen carefully. There is no advance of the kingdom apart from the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And I must learn to fully trust in His power. It's the pattern of the early church. When you go to Acts chapter 4, for example, you'll find that the people are gathered together and it's a dangerous time. And here's what they did. They prayed. And I might say, they prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And the place was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the Word of God with boldness. That will always be the pattern, my friend. That will always be the pattern. That we pray. And then after we pray some more. And after we pray some more, we pray some more. But while we're doing that, we're also being obedient. And when we pray, Holy Spirit, fill our lives. And Holy Spirit, fill our churches. And Holy Spirit, give us the power to be bold for Jesus Christ on this one-day mission trip called today. Yes. Today. I will fully trust in the power of the Holy Spirit. Mission possible. Back to the text, verse 8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Here it is. And you shall be witnesses to Ridgecrest Baptist Church. If your Bible says that, throw it in the trash when you leave. That's not what it is. Well, let's try it again. You shall be witnesses to the Southern Baptist Convention. That's not what it says. Here's a one you might try. You shall be witnesses to Hosey-Baloo. Just go tell everybody about the guy with the hillbilly twang. That's not what it says. And I'll tell you, if your Bible says that, give it to me and I'll burn it. That's not what it says. Listen, it doesn't even say you'll be witnesses to what Jesus has done in your life. That may be true, but that's not what the text says. I mean, that's part of a good testimony, and I acknowledge that. But the text is very precise. Jesus said, you shall be witnesses to me. To me. How can the mission be possible, Pastor? Well, the mission can be possible if I will fully trust in the power of the Holy Spirit. But here's the second one. Note takers, write it down. The mission is possible if I will focus my witness on Jesus Christ. Now, why is this important? Okay. How many of you ever had... Now, listen. Get your hand ready. How many of you have ever had a bad day? Most of you. Okay. All right. Second question. How many of you who follow Christ... How many of you, since you became a Christian, have had stupid times? Let's see your hands if you've had any. Yeah, I didn't think it was just me. And I'm not happy about my stupid times. But I've had them. Now listen to me carefully. Why is this important? You've heard me say this. I'll say it again. On my worst day, Jesus is still perfect. Get hold of that. When I am weak, He is what? Strong. When I am faithless, He is faithful. He never fails. I do. And listen, the devil will whisper in your ear, you can't tell anybody about Jesus because you're still pretty messed up yourself, dude. And guess what? He'd be right. He'd be right. I'm not going to have you turn to the person next to you and say, you're pretty messed up. But I mean, it'd be accurate probably, huh? But then they get to say it to you too, and it'd also be accurate. Yeah. I want you to hear this and hear it carefully. We go in His name. We go with His message. We go to talk about His life and His death and His burial and His resurrection and His ascension to the Father and His sending of the Holy Spirit and His coming again in glory. It's all about Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you something. That's why the Holy Spirit works anyway, is to point people to Jesus Christ. He does not testify of Himself. He always points people to Jesus. I will focus my witness on Jesus Christ. I got one more thing. You ready? Look here. Acts 1:8. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. By the way, where were they when Jesus said this? Where were they? Well, Jerusalem. I want you to get that because you may not be from Springfield, but here's what I've discovered. Everybody's from somewhere. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty profound. So He is saying, you shall be witnesses right where you live. In your own family. In your own workplace, in your own circle of people, many of them who are like you, you will be witnesses there. Now, I will tell you that's still a stretch because many of us have the instinct toward silence. I visited a man, 90-some years old, a gracious man, but nearing the end of his earthly journey, mind as sharp as a mind could be. We had a great visit, a great conversation. Then I asked him this question. Sir, have you made preparations for what happens when you die? And I'll never forget what this gracious man said to me. Oh, he said, we've had such a good conversation. Let's don't spoil it by talking about religion. The devil says, this subject is taboo. You don't want to talk to friends and others about this. That's what the devil says. But Jesus says, you'll be my witnesses right where you are. But he doesn't stop there. He says, you'll also be my witnesses in places that will seem uncomfortable to you. In all Judea. Not everybody's the same in all Judea. You got some different folks there. How many of you from southwest Missouri know that people north of the Missouri River are different? How many of you from north of the Missouri River know that people south of the Missouri River are different? Yeah. It's just true, isn't it? We have the same basic language and whatever, but we're very different, and it's a stretch. It's unfamiliar territory because people sometimes think a little differently and act differently. But it's still not too bad because it's still people that are connected to us, usually in terms of racial issues and others. But then he drops this bombshell. Jerusalem, all Judea, and Samaria. Now Samaria to the people of Israel was God-forsaken territory. You wouldn't even go there. You'd cross and go a longer route to never put your foot in Samaritan territory. And Jesus said, you're going to be witnesses there. And I can just almost feel the cringe factor that says, I can't go there. I've been taught all my life that they are people who have corrupted the purity of their people. And they have worshipped false gods and in false ways. And Jesus says, yeah, you're going to be my missionaries there. You're going to be sent there as well. And suddenly, within their hearts comes this awful fear. By the way, God has not given you the spirit of fear. That's got to come from somewhere else. God gives you power and love and a sound mind and self-control. How can I stand before you and say, mission possible? Because even in this metropolitan area, there are so many different cultures and they're strange to me and sometimes, quite honestly, fearful. Well, let's review. We've said if we're going to be on successful mission, that is, if mission is possible, I will fully trust in the power of the Holy Spirit. And number two, I will focus my witness on Jesus Christ. Here's number three. I will face my fear of the unfamiliar and obey anyway. I'm going to say it again because I want you to hear it. I will face my fear of the unfamiliar and obey anyway. You see, I'm pretty sure that under the sound of my voice, there would be somebody who is a follower of Christ. There was a time in your life that you prayed. You probably prayed something like this. Oh God, I admit that I'm a sinner, that I have fallen short of your plan and purpose for my life. And I believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, sent to die on the cross for me, and that He was raised from the dead. And I repent of my sin. I turn away from it. And I put my trust in Jesus Christ. And I ask you to come into my life and be my Lord and be my Savior. And I am willing to profess Jesus Christ is Lord. And you've done that. And your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that record of all who belong to God. But I submit to you that even so, some of you have never lifted the name of Jesus up in conversation unless it was an inappropriate raising up of the name in your entire life. And right now, for you to even think of doing that scares you to death. Pastor, that's just not the kind of person I am. I don't think I can do this. But I will trust in the power of the Holy Spirit, and I'll focus my witness on Jesus Christ, and I will face my fear of the unfamiliar and obey anyway. They tell me that a significant portion of the population would come or go to some church if they were invited by somebody that they knew and respected. And I don't remember the exact number, but it's pretty high, surprisingly so. And I would say some of you have never done that. You've never simply said to a friend, would you go to church with me? Or to simply say, I'd like to invite you to Ridgecrest Baptist Church or First Baptist Church West Plains or wherever it may be. New Haven General Baptist Church, whatever. You know, you just pick the name. You've not done that. And honestly, it feels really weird to even think about it. It's unfamiliar territory. That means you're going to have to be willing to say, I will face my fear of the unfamiliar and obey anyway. So here is my very specific challenge. It's that if you are a follower of Christ, that you will make the commitment that you will invite at least one person who is not active in a church to come to church next Sunday. By the way, if you're a guest, same challenge. May very well be that you're from another city. Then you go back to that city and you bloom where you're planted and you invite somebody. At least one. That seems small. I'd really like to ask for one a day. Because every day this week you're going to be on a one-day mission trip. Everybody say it with me. One-day mission trip. Yeah. But I'll just settle it right now for one. You invite one. Say, how would I do that, Pastor? Well, I'd suggest something like this. Have you made any plans to be in church next Sunday? And they say, yes. And you say, wonderful. I'm going to be in church also and looking forward to celebrating the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. That's name dropping, but that's okay. It's okay. If they say no, then whether you have a card or not, if you do, you certainly would give it to them. But whether or not you would say, man, it would honor me if you would be our guest at Ridgecrest. I'd be delighted for you to come. When I came in this morning, one of our ladies was sitting out here waiting for a lady that she had invited to be in her small group with her for the first time today. May her tribe increase.
Yes, huh? Yes.
So you just say to them, oh, I would sure like to extend to you an invitation to come and be with us at Ridgecrest or wherever your home church is in worship. Now I'm going to be very specific. And I know this is unfamiliar territory. I said it was. Even making commitments in here is unfamiliar territory. But in a moment, I'm going to ask you to either take one of the cards out of the service folder or just your hand will do fine. Because I'm going to ask you, would you be willing to make the commitment, I will find one person who is not planning to go to church next Sunday? Now, men, generally that does not include your wives. Generally, if they come with you weekly, you can't do that and say, okay, I did my part. No, no, no. It's somebody that when you ask them, they say, well, no, really, I hadn't made any plans. But you're willing to say, I will do my absolute best in the power of the Holy Spirit, focused on Jesus Christ, facing my fears, moving into the unfamiliar, obeying anyway. I will do everything I can to invite one person who otherwise is not planning on being in church. I'll invite one person to church this week. Now, if you'll make that commitment, no eyes closed, no music playing yet, just you and God and me, you know. How many of you say, I'll make that commitment? Raise your hand or your card up. Let me see it. Okay, put your hands down. Now, some of you did not raise your hand for a very good reason. Because you yourself are not yet a follower of Jesus Christ. The good news is, faith can rise up in your heart. Maybe you already did. You've heard enough about His death and burial and resurrection today that you say, you know what, I don't understand this, but I believe. And in a moment, we'll give you an opportunity with a song and with counselors for you to come and say, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus Christ who died for me and rose from the dead. That'd be the smartest and wisest thing you've ever done. Some of you may not have raised your hand because you're following Jesus afar off. You're not getting any dust from His sandals on you. And I encourage you to make this a day when you move in a little bit closer. There may be other reasons. I honor you for your honesty. But I challenge you, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, how can you not go? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm thankful that Jesus Himself said you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you'll be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even beyond Samaria to the uttermost parts of the world, that part of the world that is so frightening because it's so different. Father, I'm praying that there will be 1,000 people from Ridgecrest inviting 1,000 people who have not made plans for next week. Indeed, I would pray there would be 5,000 invited, but it must be because we know that the Holy Spirit will give us holy boldness to witness for our Savior. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.